Hello, I'm Daniele Rossi, and you're listening to stutteringiscool.com, the open mic podcast for people who stutter. Now, all through the month of February, I've been offering parts of an interview of a fantastic, fun chat, actually. Who am I kidding? I had a fantabulous time. I had a great, awesome time chatting with Greg, and it's so obvious that we're both having a great time. I mean, that's what happens when stutterers meet another stutterer. And that's what this whole podcast and Greg's podcast, Stuttering.me, is all about. Just us getting together and just doing something about it, telling the world that we're not psychologically defected or anything. It's just a natural biological thing that we have, that we do. Well, you know what? I'm just not explaining it right, but you get the gist. Now let's get started with part three.
Well, tell me, where do you see technology, like the role of technology in stuttering and in self-help? And a follow-up to that is, can technology be abused relative to stuttering?
Can it be abused? Interesting. Well, the role of technology in stuttering and self-help is this. Social media, webcams, Skype, we have all these computers that are quote-unquote cheaper. But yeah, there are cheaper computers out there. You can beg, borrow a computer if you have to. Internet access, quote unquote, cheaper, but they are affordable. I mean, regardless of the model that you choose or the high speed plan you get, the hardware is ubiquitous now.
Yeah,
you can buy it, and we have thanks to podcasts like yours, mine, Stutter Talk, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, what's the other one I'm thinking of? The forums. It's so easy now for anybody to meet other stutterers, whether it's in their geographical area or not. Of course, nothing will ever beat face-to-face communication.
Yeah.
But having, the webcam, you can even mentor another person. There were a few times where I was, young people in their 20s, even, younger than that, contact me and they ask me, how am I going to get through school with the stuttering? What do I do when I block in, when I'm talking to a girl? And
sure,
if I had that growing up, I mean, yes, I did have forms growing up, but for some odd reason, I never found any stuttering forums. But it's just, here's something that is such a needed, for lack of a better term, thing that I guess tool that us stutterers and any other kind of life, unique life event, whether you're going through a divorce or whether you're going, something that not everybody around you understands.
Right. Oh,
this
yeah.
is fantastic. I mean, for me, I had alluded earlier to fall 2007 was when I finally came into acceptance. Long story short, I had gone through that summer when I went to Paris. I did not speak much because I was stuttering a lot. I went to a conference out of town, and I didn't speak much, but I did meet people. I did manage to meet new people and make new friends, but I was really hard on myself that, because of my stuttering, and I had the previous year abandoned my search for speech therapy, because back the speech therapy that I had was back in the 80s with the whole breathing exercises, and I didn't know better. Excuse me. And then because I really wanted to get back into podcasting, at the time I was editing out my stuttering and I didn't feel honest and it just didn't feel right.
And that had to take a ton of time.
I lost a whole day doing that. So with that, I thought, you know, if I'm going to be active in the tech scene, and if I and add to that, I want to make more money. I want, you know, I'm working in, you know, corporate communications of Canada's largest bank. There's a lot of senior people there that, you know, do not have the time to wait for me to talk, whether they know, care, or even need to know, you know, that I stutter or not. So long story short, again, I just, out of nowhere, don't know how, I just recorded my, it was episode 9 of my other podcast, and I wanted to go off topic, so I just talked about stuttering. And then maybe 2 days later, I thought to myself, I wonder if there are any stuttering groups on Facebook. And every once in a while, I would check on iTunes if there was a podcast. And that's where I found Stutter Talk. And then what happened was, excuse me, now it's not just the technology that helps, it's the people that use the technology. So what did it for me, in the first few episodes that I listened to, I think you guys were at maybe episode 11 when I stumbled upon you guys. So I was listening to one episode after the other, and what struck me was how you guys would just joke about your stuttering. Well, what really worked was when you guys were talking about how bad the breathing exercises were, because I always felt it was my fault that it wasn't successful.
Well, and you felt that way because that's probably what they told you.
Yes. You know, you should practice, you should do this. And I'm talking like that. Like, it just did not work. And then, but what really helped, and what really helped was hearing you guys stutter openly. It was such a radical idea. And then it just sparked everything. I want to meet other stutterers in my city. And then I started podcasting as a way to see if I can meet other stutterers, because there's no directory of stutterers.
Yeah, right.
And so that's one way that the technology helps. Now, to answer your second question, the abuse of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to think about this, I guess.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Of the technology?
Oh, like, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, let's say you're gonna order a sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. You can either call them up on the telephone.
Oh,
or
I see.
You can go to the computer and order it there.
I see.
I can avoid speech by computerization.
I see. Okay, I don't know. There's that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think it's probably a safe thing to say that it's not bad all the time to...
No.
What I'm trying to say is that you don't have to kick stuttering in the nuts every single day. You know, and if you're having a bad day and you would just prefer to not deal with the hassle, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the way that you consistently live your life, then I would certainly say that stuttering is controlling you much more than you it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Amazing. Good stuff. I have a question. Seeing that I hate this time of year, Valentine's Day is coming up. I hate being single when it's Valentine's.
Hold up. Last year, I had a student correct me, and she said, it's not Valentine's Day, it's Singles Awareness Day. So from this point forward, I want you to call it Singles Awareness Day.
So Singles Awareness Day, which has been created by the card companies, coming up, I want to... Yeah, there's now, of course, one of the big questions for any stutterer is, am I going to get married? So So you are happily married, 2 kids. So did you want to, I don't know, talk about anything about, you know, how stuttering, I don't even know how to word this question, but I think you know what I'm getting at. Was that ever an issue or anything like that? And
well, you've probably heard of Joe Klein a few times. he was on a few episodes of Stutter Talk, and I used to give him a relentlessly hard time because he decided to go into speech pathology, and in his master's program, he met a girl in his class, and he ended up marrying her. So he converted a speech disorder into a marriage, a profession, and two children. But I don't know. You know, I mean, what is the impact of stuttering on romantic relationships? I mean, that's kind of what you're asking. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, there's the truth that we probably don't want to acknowledge, but it's certainly there, is that the negative stuttering prejudice and the negative stuttering stereotype is prolifically accepted. So, you know, is there a large percentage of people that would just off the bat not consider a person that stutters solely based on their stuttering? And the obvious, albeit hard to accept, answer is yes. Yeah. But I would maintain that can also be a positive.
Yeah.
You know, because it truly is a self-filtering pathology, so to speak. You know, so the people that self-filter out themselves, in my mind, that's akin to saying good riddance. You know, so, you know, with me, I met somebody actually when I was in high school, and she became my comparator for all future relationships with girls, either romantic or not. And she was the one that I ended up getting married to.
Oh, wow.
To. Yeah.
Oh, nice. High school sweetheart.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Now, you know, the thing though is that much of this occurred well before I came out of my stuttering closet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I'm sure that she probably felt shame and she didn't want to ask me for trying to increase my shame. You know, so it really does become this big pink elephant that's in the room that nobody talks about.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have any listeners that are out there, just talk about it. Like, perfect example, I get emails from strangers pretty often that just find me and they stutter, so they send me emails. And this one guy sent me one, and he said, "Look, I stutter, but I've been seeing this girl for 8 months, and I really like her a lot. Should I tell her?"
And you know what? I get that a lot too.
Yeah. You do too.
I get where they absolutely refuse to even tell them that they stutter.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, she already knows.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's that kind of thing where, you know, just life becomes so much more clear simple after
it does.
Bring it out. Yeah.
It does. And what would you, you know, I think you've already answered what my next question would be, in relation to that, about people who, you know, guy, well, I cannot speak about women because no woman has ever asked me about that, where guys would say, you know, "I'm never going to get married because no woman would ever want to marry a stutter. We're broken people. There's something wrong with us, period, full stop." And I
right.
try to tell them, say, no, there are people that hate, that will not, no, sorry, there are women who are shallow enough not to be able to look past it. And then there are those who are very much not shallow, and they will, you know they will, you know, come to love you for who you are, despite whatever.
Yeah.
And they're still stuck on that. What would your advice be to people who are, you know, honestly think there's no way I'm going to get a job, there's no way I'm going to have a future with anything, I'll always be depressed?
You know, I can't take credit for the idea that I'm going to share, because I was actually talking with a friend of mine who's the clinic director at the university that I'm in, But what he essentially said, and he's exactly right, and he's a fluent speaker though too, which is even more remarkable, is that in the mind of the stutterer, stuttering is huge. You know, it is the all-encompassing thing that cuts out all the sun. You know, it just is the eclipse or the focal point of their existence. But outside their mind, it's really not as big of a deal. You know, so are there a certain percentage of shallow people that are going to reject you solely based on speech? Yeah, sure. But there is a huge percentage of people that honestly don't care. Mm-hmm. And if you care more than they do, they're not blocking you off from success. You're blocking yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that goes as far as a career also. Now, I will say, though, that I have worked in any number of non-stuttering friendly places. And then at a certain point in time in your life, you think, you know what, life's so short, I don't deserve it. I'm going to find another job. You can control yourself. You can't control others. And if you're in a consistently abusive environment, all you really have is to change that environment. But, you know, I believe there's a full great many number of people that can love a person that stutters just as much or more than a fluent person, where it's simply just not an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And to even go on top of that, too, in a sense, the act of stuttering is even a benefit, because if you stutter with nonchalant courage and pride, people are floored.
Yeah,
but
they are. Like they are. Yeah. When I was sorry to cut you off.
Sure.
When was it? It was last year at PodCamp Toronto, which is a podcasting convention, and just when I would meet people for the first time, new people that come into the conference, and you know they ask, "Oh, what's your podcast?" And they're just, exactly, floored. Oh my gosh, and you record yourself. That's amazing. You're a great person. You're, you know, like all of this, like, I'm not going to call it ego stroking, but it does feel good for a stutterer after all these years to be told, you know, it's fantastic that you stutter and you're helping all these people, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, and that's exactly what you're talking about. They get floored, and that's a positive use of your stuttering.
Oh yeah, totally. And the thing too is that if, you know, like, let's say some chick came up to you and then you said that and she was totally floored about what you were doing. If there was a stuttering podcaster and a fluent podcaster, she's going to respect the stuttering podcaster more.
And she'll remember the stuttering podcaster more.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you choose to look at things from a negative perspective, then you're going to fail every time. But if you choose to look at it from a positive, you can actually begin to use this thing to your advantage.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, for example, let me take it a step further. I'll ask my students a rhetorical question. You know, does stuttering and effective communication go hand in hand? And they'll kind of sit there and they'll look at me quizzically, and then I'll ask them, have you ever had a fluent professor that was such a poor communicator that you didn't know what in the world they were saying and you wanted to bang your head against the wall? And they invariably go, yes. And then I'll say, well, have I gotten my point across? Have, you know, and from that moment on, it's like you can see that little light bulb buzzing. And, from that point forward, they really effectively learn to differentiate between fluent speech and effective communication.
Wow. We definitely got to get the word out, this whole awareness thing. I say we all do a human chain in the streets of Toronto. We block traffic only when there's no traffic, and then we just move aside when the cars come by.
And that concludes part 3 of my hilarious fun chat with Greg Snyder. Now, this weekend, I will be at PodCamp Toronto, and I will also be in a panel, and it will be streamed in video on the internet. So go to podcamptoronto.org and check the schedule. Look for my name, because as I'm recording this, it's the beginning of February. So I recorded these four episodes with Greg in advance, so I can work on my Frankie Banky comic. So at the time of this recording, I do not quite know what day, what time that my panel will be on. So if you just go to the PodCamp Toronto site, and then you can check, and yep, you can see me with my secondaries, which I will try not to have secondaries as I speak. So what I will be talking about is equipment to use when you want to start up a podcast. Should be interesting, because I really encountered a lot of difficulties in my equipment, which also explains the background noise, the fuzzy, buzzy noise that you keep hearing. That's actually from my laptop. Long story short, I couldn't get a headset to isolate the sounds. My apologies for that, but I am working hard to improve that, so it will come. The silence will come. Until then, please send in your audio comments at +1 206 984 3922. You can also email an audio file at coolstutter@gmail.com, and there are other alternatives listed over at stutteringiscool.com. I will be playing your audio comments in March.